Hello, y'all. It's good to see you tonight. Glad you come out and or glad you allowed us to come in. Maybe that's a better way to put it. But we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for a brand new day and for a brand new time that we can come together and study God's Word and to be with one another. I pray that you're enjoying this beautiful weather out here. The only thing is it's a little bit chilly. My wife's been running the heat some, and I don't want the heat on. I like it cold, but we'll work it out one way or another, but I pray that you found something today to be thankful for. And well, if nothing else, praise God, we're one day closer to this thing being a memory, that we'll get back to some normality and some things like that. But I do want to take some time tonight just to kind of give some praise reports and all that. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to be in our midst. Forgive me of my sins. And God, I pray that you'll be glorified in this service. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, I lift up the revival at Silverleaf tonight. And it's in His name I pray. Amen. We were with Silverleaf last night, had a good time over there, thought that a hurricane was coming. The winds was up high yesterday, but praise report, my notes never took off from me or run away from me. And also, it was good to see Brother Paul Arwood. He came out and supported his preacher some. But do be in prayer for them tonight over at Silverleaf. They're wrapping up the drive-in revival tonight. I pray that you'll be blessed here as well. We were blessed being with them last night, and on Monday night we were there. We were able to hear Brother Ronnie, and I saw Charlie Goodman from a distance, but I was able to hear his wife and his child sing for the first time, and what a blessing that was. In the way of praise reports, number one, God is on the throne. Glory, hallelujah, He's in control. And there's nothing that's going on in this world or in your life today that He is not allowing and that His hand of power is not on. Also, we want to praise God for the never-ending love of Jesus Christ, that no matter what's going on in our life, He loves us. And if you tonight don't know Him as Lord and Savior, that doesn't matter. He still loves you, and He wants to have a relationship with you if you just open up your heart to Him. As we say, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll open up your heart and your life to Him, He'll do even greater things than you can imagine. Also, as we look around nationally, we see that some things are beginning to go back to normal. The confirmed cases of COVID-19 is leveling off, actually beginning to go down a little bit, and we give God praise for that. But also, we need to be safe. We need to continue our social distancing. I know some states are talking about getting some things back up to normal by next week, I think, at the start of May, and I don't know about Virginia, but we're still going to be practicing some keeping yourself at distance. Also, we praise God for this Sunday. God willing, we're going to be having another drive-in service. It'll be at 11 o'clock. And again, if it's raining at 10:15, 10:30, probably won't have it. But I promise you this. If you would just, even if it is drizzling a little bit and you get out to come up here and you end up having to go back home, I still think that you'll be blessed. If nothing else, it gives you a reason to get out of the house and to crank the car up and all that. But we're going to believe, just as He did last time, about 10 minutes till He opened up the sky and the sun came out, and we're going to believe it for this Saturday as well, or Sunday at 11 as well. And we just ask that you remain in your cars. Also, if you need to go to the restroom, we'll have them available. We just want to make sure that it's one at a time so that everybody remains healthy. So we praise God and look forward to that. In the way of prayer needs tonight, number one, we want to remember those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Whether it be COVID-19 or something else, the Bible says that it's appointed unto us all to die. And then after that, the judgment. And the only thing that's going to matter when we stand at judgment day is, do we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you don't have that today, It's very easy if you just repent of your sins, meaning you'll confess them and you'll turn away from them into Christ Jesus, then He'll save you. Also, we want to pray for the backslidden, for the marriages that are being torn apart as we speak. I did some research today on pastors' marriages and divorce there, and it's heartbreaking. Want to pray for those that are depressed. Want to pray for the Christine Hensley family. She went into eternity last Friday. We want to pray for her, and I've been told also that her husband is now sick, and so we want to pray for him as well. Continue to remember Brother Zach Dunlap. He's down in Georgia. He's dealing with sickness. I've been texting with him back and to. He's got some cough and congestion and some headaches and some issues with his taste and his smell, but we're praying for him, and we're lifting him up, and pray for his family as they're separated from him. Also, we want to pray for Miss Jeanette Clark. Lift her up to you and pray that the Lord be with her. Megan Moore, Ruth Roten, Becky and Paul Hayes, Lynn Levy, Lynn, Donnie Fields, Rhonda Smith, Sister Patricia, Miss Peggy DeBoard, Moselle Carter, Ruth Bowen, Patty Pravat, Helen Bowen, Ruth Bowen, Ruth Osborne, Hazel Stanley, Jeanette Carter, Sister Peggy Stanley, Sister Alma Bowen, Sister Lottie Johnson, Brother Jay and Sister Ruby Keck, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis Bledsoe, Brother Kent Smith, Sister Liza Fletcher, Miss Henrietta Roach, Brother Bobby Jesse. Also, I want to thank Brother Otis for his wonderful devotion on Monday. But as I read Miss Henrietta Roach, I'm reminded and ask y'all to be praying for Brother Keith Roach. He's going to be delivering our devotion in time of prayer on Friday. Want to remember Sister Margaret Wheeler and Brother Chet, Miss Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Miss Wilma Williams, Miss Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, a young boy dealing with cancer in northern Georgia, Danny Smith, and then also Brother Frank Pennington. His job has called him out, so we want to pray for him. Also, let's pray for all of our health care workers, our EMTs, first response, all of those. Lift them up to you. Also, we did have Brother Chase Bowen. He had been sick, but talked with Sister Helen today. Sister Michelle today, and he's doing better. So thank you for your prayers and keep lifting him up. But we do want to pray for our governors and our president and all the others as they're trying to keep us safe, but also trying to kickstart our economy and get some things going and all that. And then we also want to keep our eyes ahead as we're moving on from this and all the liberties that we've gave up. We need to reclaim them and make sure that we still have the rights that we had before the coronavirus came in. Speaking of the corona, as of 5 p.m. today, nationally 840,625 have contracted the virus, and 46,996 have passed away from causes or issues with it. In the state of Virginia, 9,630 have contracted COVID-19, and 325 have passed away due to the virus or either complications because of it. And then also we're praying for them tonight, those families as well that's lost loved ones, but we're also praying that not only will Christ Jesus bring healing to our land, but also that He will bring spiritual revival and awakening. We need to understand that Jesus Christ must be our Lord, our Savior, our Provider, our Protector, and that really there is no cure outside of Jesus Christ. No matter what the politicians say, no matter what we feel, Jesus is the only way. And it begins with us. I talked with a deacon yesterday, and we discussed 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if we want our land healed, he said, my people need to humble themselves. They need to pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways, and then he will heal our land. And so, Christians, It begins with us. And so right now, just want to stop and go to the Lord in a word of prayer, lifting up these prayer needs. If you have prayer needs, speak them out verbally. Let the Lord hear them tonight. If you've got someone that's lost, please let us know. And we tomorrow, Lord willing, at 10 o'clock, we postponed our weekly prayer meeting from Tuesday until tomorrow at 10, but we're going to be lifting up the lost, Lord willing. If you want someone to be added to that list, you can text me or you can post it there on the message board as we're speaking tonight, or you can send it in an email to our church. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I come to you again just telling you, Lord, that I love you. Lord, I'm thankful for you loving me and that you're in control of my life. And God, that it's about you and not about me. And as John the Baptist said, you must increase and we must decrease. I, as a person, must decrease, and that you become more and more in my life. I'm so thankful for the men that you've provided to do our devotionals, Lord, and I'm mindful of Brother Scott's, how he said that we have to be emptied of ourselves. And to be honest with you, Jesus, I don't know how to. I don't know how to be emptied of myself. It sounds good. I want it. And so, Lord, teach me how. God, teach me through this time. Don't let me miss what you're trying to teach me in this time of COVID-19, of stay-at-home policy, all that. Lord, don't let me miss it. And I pray those that are listening tonight have the same desire, that whatever it is you're speaking, Lord, that we'll hear it and we'll allow it to transform us and make us into what you'd have us to be. But Lord, I think of Brother Zach tonight. God, I lift him up to you. Pray that you bring healing to his body. I pray for the Hensley family, Lord, not only as they're suffering the loss of a loved one, but also their sickness there. We pray for them. God, for the other families that we've lifted up and that we've called out, those that are dealing with sickness, those that are dealing with depression, Lord, those that are dealing with marriage problems, family problems, drug abuse, Lord, whatever it might be, God, you're able. We don't need anything else other than Jesus. And Jesus, you may choose to use counseling or drug rehabilitation programs or medications to bring healing. But God, whatever you choose, let us be mindful that Jesus is all that we need. God, I pray for our doctors tonight. I pray for our EMT workers and all those that put themselves in harm's way to assist and to help bring healing to others, God. We pray for them tonight, asking you to touch them. I pray for our governors, Lord. I pray for Northam, Heavenly Father, Lord. I pray, one, for his salvation, that tonight he come to know you as Lord and Savior. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, you give him godly men and women around him, God, as he tries to lead our state, Lord. But I pray, God, that Jesus be number one in the state of Virginia. I pray for other governors that are out, and Lord, they're trying to make decisions and wanting to see the economy going, but also, Lord, let them be mindful of the need of health and safety. And so, God, I pray for our president. I pray for our military. I pray for our local police. I pray for our state patrol, Lord, as I think of Nate tonight and lift him up to you and many others that are like him. But God, in all things, we give you honor and praise. And as we go into our time of worship tonight, let us just do it with a full heart, knowing that God, you're on the throne. And Lord, as we sing and as we study, let us do it to you, Lord. Let us not get caught up in the busyness of church and of ministry, but Lord, let us make it personal tonight, that it be from our hearts as your people, as your children, as ones that are thankful for Jesus. And that when we pray, when we praise, when we study these words, that it be for your glory. And let us have a time spent with you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Thessalonians again, chapter 3. And then, but before that, we're going to sing from page 338 in the book, in the Baptist hymnal. But before we do that, just want to remind you of some announcements as you turn to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, April the 26th, this Sunday, 11 p.m., a.m., not at night, in the morning, 11 a.m., we're going to be having a drive-in service, and you come out and you be a part of it. You know what? An evening drive-in service may not be a bad idea before long. We might try to do that maybe I don't know. I don't know when we're going to have another one, but we might try to do it of an evening next time. But do remember that. On Monday and Friday, don't forget our time of prayer and devotion. Thank you, Brother Otis. Thank you to all the deacons and the men, Brother Scott, Brother Wayne, that have helped lead us in it. And do be praying for Brother Keith. It's going to be going Friday. And then I think it's going to be Brother Ken is going to be the next week. So pray for him. And then also Brother Tim Vonador is going to be coming and leading us in one before long as well. Also, check out the Awana Facebook page. Weekly updates and activities. Don't forget, VBS, June the 22nd through the 25th. Be expecting a phone call or a text from Sister Andrea, or maybe you want to text her or call her and tell her you're ready and willing to go. Just lift this band and let's get this thing going. And then lastly, don't forget that if you need something, don't hesitate to call or to text. And over in the past 2 months, I've had two people say that they've tried to text me or call me and they've not gotten through. So if you're not getting through to me, you call my wife, you call one of the deacons, and I promise you, we are not avoiding you on purpose, and we'll get together somehow or some way, all right? All right, as you're finding your place, I pray you're already there. Shoot somebody a text, tell them it's time to go to church, it's time to worship together. I just got back on Facebook this week, and I see where you can be a part of a group and be together watching stuff. I mean, that's amazing. That's awesome. Maybe you want to do that. But right now, what we're going to do is we're going to sing some praises to the Lord. And what we're going to sing tonight is How Firm a Foundation. If you ever listen to the Bible Bus with J. Vernon McGee, this is how it kicks off and how it ends, all right? How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not burn thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to His foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never forsake. That's a great song. That's a great song. I love that one. It's a good one. And even in, he talks about in there how the fiery trials, even the flame will not hurt us. And its only purpose is to take away the impurities and to bring out a more pristine a Christian for the glory of the Lord. All right, as we go to Thessalonians, I just kind of want to remind you, the idea of this study is a look at a model church. And that while we know that this church at Thessalonica was a young church, it still shows us some things of how a faithful and committed church should act and should have. All right, tonight, chapter 3, we're going to read through all of the, I think there's 14 verses here, 13 verses, and we'll probably only get to verse 10, but just bear with us, and we are moving on. I promise you, this study will not be as long as Romans, okay? No matter how long it goes, it can't be as long as Romans. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you that we should suffer tribulations, even as it came to pass. And ye know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to you to know your faith, lest some means the tempter have tempted you and our labors be in vain. But now, when Timotheus come from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring earnest greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face, and might perfect or complete that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to this end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. And may God add the blessings to the reading of His Word. Now, as we just kindly want to pick up in chapter 1, just to bring you up real fast, in chapter 1, as we begin our study in the model, or the study of a model church, we begin there with the first 10 verses in chapter 1. And in those 10 verses, we see 9 traits of a model church. Now, I'm not going to go through them, but I say like I always say, if you want a copy of my notes, just let me know. I can email them to you. I can send them to you in a text file, or I can send them to you by mail, or you can swing by here and pick them up. I'll put them outside somewhere and you can grab hold of them. But those 9 traits that we look at, every church should have those 9 traits. And then in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, as we began our second study, we see, as we're looking at the model church, we see the pastor of a model church. And in those first 6 verses, Thessalonians 2, 1 through 6, we see what the pastor must do, or some things that a pastor must practice to see that his church is what Christ would have it to be. And it's not his church. We know it's the Lord's church, but he's been appointed there as the under-shepherd and as the guide. And then in our third lesson in chapter 2, verses 7 through 12, continuing to consider the pastor of a model church, having saw what a pastor must do, we then in 7 through 12 saw what a pastor must be. And then we moved on into chapter, the latter part of chapter 2, beginning in verse 13 all the way to verse 20. Then we begin to look at the people of a model church. And here in verse 13, beginning in verse 13, we see that in a model church, the people hear, accept, and practice the Word of God. They hear and accept and practice the Word of God. They're not just head nodders. They're not just ones who look at the Word and then walk away from it, but they truly believe that not just knowing the truth will set you free, but the practice of the truth in your life will give you the freedom in Christ Jesus. So, we see in verse 14 that the people of a model church or of a strong church imitate other biblical churches. They imitate other biblical churches, especially when they're facing persecution, meaning that we can look back at the book of Acts, at the first church. We can look back at Corinth. We can look back at Philippi. We can look at Ephesus, and then we can look at other churches around us. We take and look at what their fruit is, and we try to say, well, hey, they face these problems. They face these issues, and so we learn what we can do to help be strong in these situations, but also by watching and modeling ourselves after other churches, we can learn what not to do in the face of persecutions and problems. Then we see that a church that has people that are serving the Lord, they are those that have overcome the attacks of the enemy. Here's the thing. Every Christian is going to face an attack. All of us at some point in time are going to be laid low at times by these attacks. But the Bible teaches us it's not the fact that we fall. The fact is that as children of God, we get back up in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. Then in verses 17 through 18 of chapter 2, we see that the people of a strong and model church, the membership of a strong and model church, display a strong bond with one another. They have a strong bond with one another. You know what? That's what makes these times like this so difficult. Or like when you're sick and you can't come, or when you're in the hospital, you've been laid down for a few weeks. You can't be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's many times that I come to church and don't feel very up or very emotionally happy. But spending time with God's people and the unity that we have together lifts me up. And the Bible says that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we share in the joys of one another, but we also carry the burdens for one another. And then lastly, in chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, as we look at the membership of a model or a strong church, we see that while you may not know it and you may not think about it a lot, the membership is a treasure to one, number one, to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to the pastor of that church, to the love of that church. And as we move on tonight, we remember what we looked at last week. We made it through the first three or four verses. But I want us to look, before we get into the actual points now of lessons 5 and 6, which is the faith of a model church. In these 10 verses, the Apostle Paul refers to the faith that the young Thessalonican church had. And at least five times in Scriptures, he specifically uses the word faith. His concern is whether that their faith has remained since he, Timothy, and Silas have had to leave. They've went to Athens. Just to kind of give you a brief reminder of what went on. If you remember, Paul and Silas had been at Philippi. At Philippi, they were put in jail. And then at midnight, remember, while they were singing praises unto the Lord and praying, they says there was an earthquake came, and their shackles were loosed, the door was open, they got to lead the Philippian jailer to the Lord and his family, and then ultimately, when they figured out that Paul was a Roman citizen, the leaders there, they got a little bit scared and basically ran him off because they had broke the law by beating on him. And so he left from there, and he went to Thessalonica. And when he got to Thessalonica, he had done like he always done in his ministry. He went to the synagogue. And while there, he preached. And it tells us that some Jewish people got saved. Says that some God-fearing Greeks came to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also some very influential women of that town came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of that, I've got something hung in my throat. Hold on just a second. Because of the move of the Holy Spirit and people coming to know Jesus Christ, the leadership of the synagogue got upset. And you remember they rallied a mob. Basically, it says the people that hung around the town square, they were loiterers, not good for much anything. And they tried to find Paul and the others, but they basically broke into a man named Jason's house and took him and some other followers, remember, before the civil government. And they fined Jason and let him go home. But what had happened was people that were concerned for Paul had kindly shipped him out of town. They moved him to Berea. Well, when he got to Berea, he did the same thing, began to preach the gospel. People got saved. And they were more welcoming. If you look over in Acts chapter 17, it says that they were of a nobler sort, meaning that they were at least a little bit more accepting there. But guess what? The Jewish leadership and the mob from Thessalonica found out that Paul and the ministry team were there in Berea. And so they went to Berea and tried to find them there and was going to beat them up and run them out, maybe even kill them. And so the ones that were concerned from that town for Paul, they loaded him in a ship and shipped him off about 200 and something miles away to Athens. And later on, Timothy and Silas followed him. And that's where we pick up here in verses 1 and 2. Now, this isn't a major point, but it's something that we should notice, and we looked at it last week, and that's the pastor's concern for the flock. Listen to what it says. It says, "Therefore, when we could no longer stand it, we thought it was better to be left alone in Athens," meaning that while I had Timothy and Silas there, I couldn't deal with it. And so in verse 2 he says, "And so he sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you concerning what? Concerning your faith." Now, with everything that's going on, Paul was forced to leave Thessalonica and Berea. But remember that Paul, over in chapter 2, describes himself as a loving nursemaid, or basically you could say a loving mother, and then he also talks about being a caring father. And because he had that type relationship with those people there at Thessalonica, imagine the questions that were running through his mind, leaving them with those Jewish leadership and that mob that was against anti-Christian. They were anti-Christian. He was basically thinking, is their faith strong enough to stand in the face of this persecution? And I tell many, many new believers, every new believer, that the devil's going to come along and he's going to throw a storm at you. He's going to try to wipe your legs out from underneath you. He probably thought, have I fed their faith enough? Have I given them enough to hold on to while they're here in this persecution? Will their faith point them to Jesus? Will they hold fast to the head shepherd who can guide them through this attack? And I said a little bit about it, and I'm just going to say a little bit more. If you're not a pastor, then you cannot know the love that a pastor has for the people of the church. You won't understand the desire to be with them. I looked up today that 78% of pastors, according to pastoralcareinc.com, that 78% of pastors report that they have left a vacation to come home and to attend to some issues within the congregation. And then I also remind you that the wives and the children at times suffer and have to sacrifice for the care of the church membership. Today I looked up at, according to inthyword.org, that 77% of pastors did not feel like they had a good marriage. That broke my heart. Praise God, I've got a great marriage. I've got a good wife, I've got good youngins, and I'm thankful for that. But that says a lot, 77% feel like it. And then I read this, that of that, and I think they did like 1,000 people were in this survey into thyword.org. It said that 38%, and these were pastors, that 38% of these pastors were or were in the middle of a divorce. 38% of them. And a lot is that the wife cannot deal with, you know, the issues that come. And so, but one thing that we see here, as we see the concern in Paul, building on what he's already said, remember we studied in chapter 2 what a pastor needs to be, what a pastor needs to do, and here we see the concern that the pastor has. And that this is just kindly helps point to the fact that a church that is going to be stable, a church that is going to be growing, it needs to have a pastor that is stable, needs to have a pastor that is concerned and caring, needs to have a pastor's wife and family too that are committed as well. Amen? That goes a long way. But then we got into the points of a strong faith, the model church and its strong faith. And the first thing that we saw, that a characteristic of the faith of a strong church, is that they are not moved by the afflictions. They are not moved by the afflictions. And again, I'm reading now from the Christian Standard. But look there in verses 3 through 5. It says, "So that no one will be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were appointed unto this. In fact, when we were with you, we told you in advance that we were going to experience afflictions. And as you know, it happened. For this reason, when I could not longer stand it, I also sent Timothy to find out about you, fearing that the tempter had tempted you and our labor was in vain." Now, or our labor might be for nothing. Now look there in verse 2. It tells us the reason that Paul could not stand it and that he had to send Timothy on. And he says, "I wanted to strengthen," or "I wanted to establish and to encourage your faith. I wanted to build it up and I wanted to push it out." He wanted to make sure there was more, and then he wanted to make sure that it was strong there. In verse 3, he says in verse 2, "The purpose for establishing or strengthening and encouraging is so that they will not be shaken by these afflictions." And you know the picture of a boat or the picture of a house in the middle of a earthquake is that there's that instability going on underneath, and so whatever's on top of that is being torn from side to side. And if what's standing on, whatever that individual or that house or that boat is made out of, if it's not strong enough to withstand the shaking, then it's going to succumb to the force and fall under and go underneath. And where there was something, it's no longer there. And so Paul says, you've come to know Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven, and the reality of the relationship with Him is beyond what you and I could ever have. Now you remember that when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that reality is something that you can't express to someone. And then you find out that there's rumors, putting ourselves in their situation, that there's rumors that people don't like your new preacher and they don't like your religion. And then you find out that that's true. They're mad at you. They don't like your pastor. They don't like your church. And next thing you know, they try to run your pastor off. They go to the next town to try to run him off. Can you imagine how much instability, how much shaking was going on in them as they came out of, whether it be Judaism or the Greek aspects of false god worship? You know, I mean, it was shaking up. And that's why Paul, he says, these afflictions that you're under, I've left there, I've got out of there, but the same things that I was experiencing when I was there, you're still there. You're feeling that pressure being put on you. You're feeling that shaking. That's exactly what the word affliction means. It means to have pressure put on you or to be troubled in the midst of it there. And though Paul, he says, but just remember, I told you this was coming. I told you this was coming. As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be pressured. Because, hey, when people look at us, if we're living who we need to be, then we're a reminder. Hey, if they're a sinner and needed a Savior, guess what? Then I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. People look at us, they're reminded. And Jesus said that if the world hates you, know that it hated me before you. We're a reminder that there is a Jesus Christ, that there is a God, that there is someone in control and that we will answer to one day and that we're going to have to give an account to. And then also, we're a reminder, if we're being who we need to be, we're a reminder that God is holy. He's separated. He's above us all. That we are the creation and He is the Creator, and that we should honor and reverence Him. So yes, when Paul said, I warned you about this, if you're being who God's called you to be, if you're being that example, then you're a reminder to those around you that there is a God, there is a need for a Savior, there is a judgment day that's coming, and that they also will have to bow down there. You see, part of a strong faith is knowing that everything is not roses and flowers and harmony and sugar candy. Praise God, I would not trade the life of being a Christian here on earth for anything. But it is, you do experience attacks of the devil specifically because you are a believer. You've got the storms of life with it, which everybody has to face. Job was told, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. But then when you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be more that comes along with it. So now we move on into our second point of the model faith, or the faith of a model church, the strong church, and that is that a strong faith encourages an enduring testimony. A strong faith encourages an enduring testimony. Look there in verses 6 and 7. It says, "But now Timothy has come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and your love. He reported that you have good memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Now therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction," listen to those, Paul's saying, "in all my distress and afflictions, we were encouraged about your faith." Notice what Paul said his affliction was. Now, he's not facing the same one as them. He's not there looking at the Jewish leaderships and the mob and all that. He's over in Athens. But he says that my afflictions and my distress was being separated from you and not knowing what was going on in your lives. That's what was causing him problem. That's where he was being shaken was, is that his children, quote unquote, in the spirit world were being distressed. But I had to look up the word enduring to be sure that it fit in these two scriptures. Because remember, this church at Thessalonica is still basically a young church. But it does, because listen, enduring means a lasting and continuing on for a period of time with the capacity to go on indefinitely. Theirs started, they faced the loss of their preacher. But while he was gone, they stayed faithful to him. In fact, he knows now by sending Timothy, just as we do, that praise God, not only was your faith strong enough, but it was growing in the midst of what was going on. You know, remember how this young church, all these new believers, and they were begin in the faith with Paul, Silas, and Timothy coming to Thessalonica from Philippi. Acts 17, 3 and 4. It says that expanding and proving that it was necessary for the Lord, for Christ Jesus to suffer and to raise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus who I proclaim to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the women. They started out in the right faith. They were built up there. And so Paul says over in verse 5 of chapter 1, he says, "Because our gospel did not come unto you in word only, but it came to you in power." The power, the dynamis, or the, where we get the term dynamite from. That is the power that came to them. It changed the way things looked there at Thessalonica, because now they were Christians that were there. But now we see Paul having more insight to the church's faithfulness, that these men and women displayed that they were not just hearers of the word, but that the word had become a part of them, that Jesus Christ is where they found their identity. You see that their testimony that Paul was hearing from them was declaring what God was doing there. And these came, but the afflictions in the face of all that. Yet when Timothy was able to return to the church, these young Christians were able to say, "Praise God, we're thankful for the message you preached. We're staying on and we're looking forward to what God's going to do in this church. And we want to see Paul again. Whenever Paul can get back, we want him to get back." Was there times when they probably wanted to quit? Yeah. Were there times when they wondered why Christ would allow them to suffer that persecution? I'm sure they did. Was it difficult? Yes. But this is a part of it. They accepted the word. They imitated godly people. They did what they knew to do, at least with what they knew to do. They said, "We're going to practice that." And see, that is the testimony that they had, that we continued on in the face of this situation. That this testimony, even and that's what I pray that we're trying to recognize in this time right now, that while we're in the midst of this down season, our testimony is still being written. It's still going on. I mentioned this last night. I've been off the Facebook for a while, but I begin to look at some people I know that are in bad places right now, and some of them are still praising the Lord and they're still giving God the glory. But other ones that a year ago, 2 years ago, they were posting all kind of praise God and He's good and all that. Now they're not posting that. They're posting what's going on in their life to the negative and how bad. And I'm not saying you ought not post that, but in the midst of all that, God is still good. God is still working. He's still on the throne. And your testimony is His testimony of what He's doing in your life. And even in the negative, He's doing it. And I've talked about, I see God's hands working in my life and in our church's life. I know you don't, but you do. You really do see it just in my prayer time. But I want to tell you this. When I sent out the first text message to all the deacons and I said, listen, I think we need to start having a Monday and a Friday devotion and I want you to do it. And when I did that, I didn't get an immediate response. I got one or two, and then I had to hit it again and say, okay, fellas, I'm fixing this thing up. And then I got a few more, and then I started getting some texts like this. Pastor, I don't want to do it, but I feel like I need to. I got that from a few of them. And so I said, well, I appreciate it. I tell you what, if you need to, I'll write you one, or we'll sit down and I'll get a book, and you can read out of the book. Praise God. It's just... And you know what? To a person, to every one of them, I have not had to give them a devotion book. I've not had to write them anything out, because in the moment when it was their time and they're coming up, they've been able to listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to them, and to every one of them, He has given them the words to say. They've been different, but praise God, each one of them's been good. And you say, why are you saying that, preacher? Because in the middle of what's going on here with this coronavirus and all that, I am watching the testimony of Thomas Village Baptist Church grow as these men who at one time probably thought, I'll never stand before a camera, I'll never stand before the church, I'll never do any type of teaching, that God has been faithful to lift them up and to grow them so that they're able to be what Thomas Village and our people need during this time. You see, it's growing, praise God, and God is doing a great work in the midst of this. And then lastly, the last thing, and we'll wrap it up real quick, is that a strong faith that has that testimony stirs up and empowers others. Look at there in them last few verses, verse 8 through 10, it says, for now we live, if you stand firm in the Lord. Now listen to what he's saying. He's saying, hey, praise God, I'm strong. If you're standing strong in the Lord, then that gives me life. Verse 9. How can we thank God for you in return for all the joy we experienced before our God because of you? And we pray very earnestly day and night to see you face to face and complete what is lacking in your faith. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, hey, what God is doing in your life and the testimony that Timothy has just brought me back about what's going on there in Thessalonica, it makes me happy. I can't tell God how thankful I am for what He's doing. I can't tell you how I'm excited to see God's Spirit working in you. Because you're growing in the Lord and you're standing fast in the Lord, I've got more life inside of me. That's what he says there in verse 8. For now we live if you stand firm. And notice this, I'm excited tonight, not just about knowing Jesus and being part. I'm excited about the deacons of Thomas Village Baptist Church growing in their relationship with the Lord, doing Bible studies on their own and being willing to get up and stand up, how God's blessing them and being open to you as a congregation and showing themselves and not just being a name on a sheet of paper, but being a part of the body and the servants that Christ would have them to be here. So tonight as we look at the model faith or the church, think about these things, that a church that is being what God would have it to be has a faith that allows them to stand firm in the face of afflictions. They have a faith that provides them with a testimony even in the bad times. And because of their strong faith and because of that testimony, they're able to help excite, encourage, and uplift others that are around them. Praise God. I'm thankful to be your pastor, Thomas Village Baptist Church. I pray everything's going on well. If you're not a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church and you live in this area, you should be. No, I'm just cutting up. I know God has you at other places and there are a lot of good churches around. But praise God, I don't think Thomas Village is a good one, is all I can say. It's a great one. And if you need anything, Thomas Village members, give me or the deacons a call. If you're not a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church and you need anything, give me a call. I'll do what I can. But never forget, no one loves you like Jesus. No one's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll open up your heart and your life to Him tonight, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. God bless you, and I'll see you Friday, if not before.